Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And just in a few days' time, we are going to welcome the new year. But the problem is that I remember being here not too long ago. I was telling the congregation that in a few days' time, we're going to welcome the new year. And that was about 2019. Now, 2019 has come and gone, and whatever you did in it, you can never go back and change it. Isn't that interesting with time? Time is given to us within a frame. Whatever you want to do, you can do. As a wonderful friend of mine used to say, never leave anything in the bucket undone. So even if you want to go back in 2019 and try to do things that were things that you could do back then, but you did not do for some reason, it's too late. So go and see a therapist, because you're never going to bring it back. No matter how much you cry, how much you just agonize over it, it's gone. But the good news is that the new year is coming, and many people are making resolutions of how many pounds to shed. And you know that guilt thing? You just start eating, and say, well, January 1st, I'm going to start, right? January 1st comes, it's the New Year's Day, then you start convincing yourself, well, you know, everything is closed today, so let me just cheat one day and then I'll start on the second. Then you'll start and your New Year resolution lasts for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then life takes over and then you're back to exactly where you were, and you're a bit depressed, you blame the weather, and then the weather comes and goes, then it's Easter, and of course everybody is happy at Easter, spring is coming, you're looking forward to summer holidays, and then starts all over again, September, Thanksgiving, and the cycle of life, right? I mean, if life is all about cycles and this, it's a bit boring, isn't it? I mean, you try to make it really nice, and but it's really boring if life was all about just, you know, rhythms and cycles. In many ways it is, you know, you cannot help it, but I do believe life is far more than that. Now, we talk about wars that are taking place in many parts of the world, whether it's in Afghanistan or the Middle East or even within this country. There are different types of war that are waging, and many of them are waging within the spirit of people. But I do believe the greatest war that is being waged is in the mind of people today. Now, I love this picture here. It says, please excuse the mess during renovation. You know, if you open somebody's head, I'm not suggesting that you do in any way, shape, or form, it will be interesting to write a book about them, right? And all the good things, the ugly things, the wonderful things, the etc., etc. But the human mind is a very interesting place where real things are happening without sometimes us realizing. Real wars are taking place, you know, and that in itself affects our spirit. And then all of a sudden we get happy, we get sad, we get depressed, we get angry. All these emotions that you cannot see or touch or feel. Well, you feel, but you cannot touch or smell. Imagine going to a hospital as people being operated. Ask the doctor, well, where's his soul? Can you show it to me? Or can you show me the emotions of this person? Of course you can't see, but everything you do happens through your emotions. Now, the mind of the human being is a very complex place, and unfortunately, a lot of us allow it to be affected by the world that we live in. Sometimes we can't help ourselves. It's all around us. And there's a wonderful scripture that says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You know, everybody is trying to be somebody today, right? Everybody's trying to be an idol. You know, that's what we have, American Idol. All kids are just running to just, you know, imagine every Sunday, a lot of kids are doing sports. Those parents are under a spell, I think, because they think their kid is going to make it to the NHL or whatever. It's only such a small percentage of them make it. But then imagine how the world has affected people's minds and made them believe that as parents, the best thing you could do on a Sunday morning is just get onto the program and just get the kids into the sport, because you don't want to leave them out. But it's amazing, as you look at the statistics, there's so much sadness and anger and dysfunction amongst many generations that are just coming out of schools and stuff. And the question is, why? Why, if we're doing such a great job with everything that the world is telling us to do, why is there so much dysfunction? And then, of course, we go and buy these wonderful books from Barnes & Noble and say, if we do the 7 steps to your best life. Have you ever seen the 7 steps? Believe me, I've tried 300 million steps. It's not getting me there. There are no steps to your best life because your best ever life is at this very moment that's called the day. We're always thinking that, you know, if I just achieve this in life, right? If I just do this in life, if I just think more positively. You know, positive thinking, it doesn't last. There's always negative thinking comes and takes over. I mean, take your own life. If somebody praises you all day, they tell you, you know, 99 wonderful things, how great you are, you know? And then you feel great about yourself, right? You feel encouraged, you feel, hey, people love me. And then somebody comes at night, and just before you go to your home, says one negative thing. And when you go to bed, what are you going to think about? I cannot say that word. But you say, you know? How dare he? But what about the 99 that just affected you so positively? You see what the mind did? Threw everything away and made you concentrate on that one negative thing. Sometimes we can't help it. Sometimes we just can't help it. But scripture, I love scriptures. You know, I've been in this business for the past 28 years, and there's not a year that goes by. I started early. I left my father's business profession. I never became a businessman at the end of the day. I chose to do kingdom business. For some, it was just very odd, and people thought that I was weird to do something like this. But the greatest gift that I've received is how God can control your mind and your spirit and make you the best person you are today. Everybody's thinking about tomorrow. Everybody's thinking about the grass being greener the other side. They've never seen the fake grass at Home Depot. Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God... You can take them down and give them coffee if you want. You know, I'm not going to be offended.
Yeah.
Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. What is interesting thing is, everything that we do is we do it by the power of self. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to go and try this program. Just maybe I will become better. If, and somebody says, try it, it worked for me, it will work for you. You see, and then we just sell this idea to others. But unfortunately, it works for a very short period of time. And then something happens, you're back to square one. You, my friends, and I, we cannot in any way, shape, or form make ourselves feel better for a long period of time. Because the body as we know it from the time of conception is aging, is getting old. And it's just, it sometimes, you know, it can't help itself. And what God has given us, a spirit that this body carries until it expires. The spirit never dies. And he has called us to transform our spirit and make it more like Christ. And how do we do this? You know, any friendship that you need to have, it takes time to develop, right? One of the things you need, trust. But you need to invest time. But unfortunately, let me ask you, where would most people be on a Sunday morning today? But when something terrible happens, everybody's crying out, God, God, but they don't have an understanding of the living God that can come and just really change your life. Because they're not really deepening their relationship with God. And God is the only one who can transform our minds. I was just speaking to a person just not too long ago. They said, I'm going to change everything this coming year. I'm going to change. I'm fed up with problems, and I'm going to meet new people and do this. So the person gave me a whole list. I said, you know what? That's wonderful. Good for you. But one thing I can assure you is that your problems are not going to go away. Instead of your problem being with Martha, it's going to be with Mary. Instead of the problem being with John, it's going to be Jonathan now. Because you are carrying the problem with you. Because your mind has not changed. You're just thinking positively. And a lot of the times we struggle and we get depressed. Because why? We just don't go back to God. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. The question is, how can God transform you? I mean, it's a good question to have. How can anyone transform you? Well, God, who created you, can do anything he wishes to you and to me. You know what's the greatest miracle in life is? The greatest miracle in life is seeing a human being being formed in a mother's womb. You know, people are looking for miracles today, right and left. Unless I see, I won't believe. I want miracles. I say, man, it's all over you. Go to the hospitals. You know, they're full of them. How can a child is formed out of nothing? Or artificial intelligence. I go like, okay. Did you take your medication? There's no artificial intelligence. There is God's intelligence in this that we don't understand. But he forms us. He brings us to this world for a reason and a purpose. Each and every person is loved by God, and God wants us to do great things through him. The challenge is, because we've let the world take over our minds, it's very hard to focus upon God because we always feel guilty. I'm not good enough. Do you ever feel like that? I'm not good enough. We were at a restaurant, and there was this guy, Italian guy, who was just talking right and left, swearing his head off and asking me to excuse his French. And I kept telling him, that's not French. You know, I totally understand what you're saying. But then he said to me, Father, he said, there's not enough holy water that will take away my sins. I said, you're absolutely right. There's not enough seas of holy water that will take away your sins. But I said, a drop of Jesus' blood will make you clean. Are you ready to turn your life and follow him? He struggled. He says, I'm not ready now. Maybe in a month or two. I said, you're not going to be ready in years if that is your attitude. It's funny how when we are trapped under slavery, it's very hard to get out of that slavery. People want to be slaves to sin. They want to be trapped where they are. And they don't want to experience the freedom that is in Christ. God will not hold anything against you or me if we truly commit our lives to him and say, hey, I want to follow you. Now, and then the moment we do this, God starts transforming our minds. And you know the greatest distance that ever traveled where it is? It's not between moon and earth or Mars and earth. It's between the head and the heart. Sometimes there are great blockages between the heart and the mind. When your mind is transformed, your heart will start transforming as well. And you, all of a sudden, you're going to see you're becoming a new creation where the old has gone and the new has come. But then do not spend time on things that's truly not going to change you. You know, I love King David of Israel. Never met him. One day I will. But he was a great, great, great king. And one of the things that made him great was his humility. He never knew about his greatness. I mean, he was a shepherd boy. He was the son of Jesse. But he never knew that God chose him to be the king of Israel. And one day, of course, Samuel the prophet comes and he says to his father, you know, I want to see all your children. And of course, you know, the most handsome one comes out. He says, no, it's not him. And eventually they'll bring the 14-year-old shepherd who had no clue that he was going to be anointed to be the king of Israel. And then he becomes the king of Israel. And the reason God chooses him, because he was a man after God's own heart, scripture says. What makes a man after God's own heart? You just love God no matter what. You just love God no matter what. That even if there's a major storm in life, and David saw a lot of storms in his life. I mean, he was a shepherd in the desert, and he saw lions and tigers, and people attacking his sheep. He had to go and defend, you know, the sheep and put himself in harm's way. But God always protected him, but he always spent time with God. He was a musician. He used to write music. I mean, he was in the desert for so long, he wrote, you know, poems and prayers. Some of the psalms that you read, you know, they all came from the desert. And then, of course, he is anointed as the king of Israel, and he walks with God. He walks with God every day of his life. It becomes to be known as the friend of God. No one in Scripture is known as the friend of God. But one day, he messes it up. He is in his palace, married. And then, of course, there's a woman across the across from his castle. She's bathing on the top of her, on the roof. I mean, why was she bathing on the top of the roof to start with? She was a married woman. And of course, King David loses his marbles. And to make a long story short, he makes sure that her husband is dead. And he ends up marrying her. And they have a child. And God takes the child away. Life will never be the same for David because he loses his own child. But then he realizes that he's not being peaceful. He's not being joyful anymore because he has hurt his best friend, God. And then he goes and basically prays, and we see his prayer in one of the Psalms. And this is what he says in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't go to a confession. He doesn't go to his pastor or priest. He goes right to God. He says, for I know my transgressions. I know my problems. And my sin is always before me. What I did was just, it's always before me. I knew I wronged you, God. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. And then he says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then, and only then, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. My friends, when we're living an authentic life with God, we have so much spiritual power and authority that we can speak as such to people. The problem is, so many of us are hiding from God or not living an authentic life, that we don't have that spiritual authority left anymore to pass our faith to our children or grandchildren or to the people who are around us. You don't want to be called fake, or I don't want to be called fake. And there are many fake people out there. What we want to be called is that, boy, I knew what type of a person that person was. And I knew that he could not have done it by himself. God has done a great work in him. At the end of the day, it's not about us. You know, everything that is happening today in our society has to do with us. What do I get out of it? There are people who go to churches to get something out of it. The secret of life is to find God and start living accordingly. A life that gives brings such inner joy that materialism cannot purchase. And this is this problem living in a materialistic society, that we can easily transform our minds and make it so selfish that it becomes all about us. After all, we all have iPhones. It's all about I, me, and myself. Did you know some people are marrying themselves today? This is nothing, you can Google it. They are saying what great people they are, and they want to marry to themselves. And they are asking priests and pastors to officiate their wedding. They're not two people or three people in this wedding. It's just, it's them and them and them. Me, I, and myself. And we want to be happy. And I asked jokingly a pastor, I said, what would happen if they want to divorce? Right? He says, that's a good question. I said, we need to ask people when they're not thinking about the future. What if they have conflict within themselves? Who is going to counsel them? It's interesting. The times that we're living in, very, very interesting. I strongly believe, that the Bible, which is the living word of God, we all have this, right? I have a few at home. And we all have it, and some of us have it, and it's collecting dust. And, you know, that's not how you gain real estate. You know, just read it, because that's what's going to transform your mind. Here's a picture of a little boy. How to use the Bible to renew your mind. You know, a lot of people don't approach the Bible because they're afraid, they don't understand it. I mean, a lot of people who've gone to church all their lives, they don't know a single verse. They come up with theories, they come up with stories. I say, that's not in the Bible. They say, are you sure? I go like, yeah, that's what I do all day. It's not in the Bible. And they say, I think it is. I said, have you read the Bible? No, but I think it is. Do you see how much people have been accustomed to believe certain things that are not even biblical in nature? I mean, I don't want to put my faith and my future and my eternal life in something that I'm not even sure that it's in the Bible. Start somewhere. If you want to renew your mind, try to read the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that God has left us with before He departed, until He comes back again, He's the one who says, I'm leaving you with my Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to reveal all these things to you. The problem is with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father, we've made them so religious that we cannot touch them anymore. And yet the God of the Bible entered earth and He pitched His tent where our tents were in order for us to understand Him. Jesus came in order to save. So how do you use the Bible to renew your mind? You know, as you read it, approach it as such and say, Lord, I want to read your word in order to become your child. And not only that, I want to do things for your glory and mine. The worst thing in life is that you expect, when you do something good, you expect people to repay you, right? It's just right. Have you ever tried doing something and not expecting anything back? That hurts initially. But imagine, if you're doing something for the glory of God and not for the person, it will change your whole attitude. Scripture says, have the same attitude as that of Christ. You know, some people are going to drop you like a fly because they've used you in life. Have you ever been used? No, none of you. These bastards get used, right? Have you ever been used in life and you felt like, hey, you're done now? And that hurts. It creates bitterness. And it's just, you know, bitterness. It's a terrible thing within the spirit because it eats you up. Makes you lose sleep. And eventually you cannot do anything about it. And the worrying kicks in. And who's suffering in all this? You and only you. When I do things, I've learned to do things for the glory of God. Whether I'm just cleaning the toilet. Yeah, I do. You know, just a confession here. You know, years ago people used to tell me, that's beneath you, Pastor. You should never do that. Okay, let's do it together. Oh, I'm not going to do this. Why? Let's do it for the glory of God. Well, I have to go and pick up my children from school. There's always an excuse, right? Beneath us, there's nothing beneath us. If you do things for the glory of God, and it's interesting that God is going to make you sit with kings and queens, and He's going to make you sit with homeless people. But at the same time, whatever you're doing and whatever you're talking to with kings and queens or with homeless people, you're all doing it for the glory of God. God has a sense of humor. It's amazing. God has a sense of humor and He wants us to live humbly. Now, the problem with the world is not going to teach you that. Read your Bible. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the next thing is that a lot of people say, what is God's will for me? And I say, why do you want to know? Or what do you want? Because I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. I say, are you sure that you are able to do exactly what He wants you to do? See, that's just positive thinking. God wants you to worship Him. And when you start worshiping Him, something magical will happen in your soul. And it is only then God is going to take you step and a step in order for you to grow and become the person that God intended you to be. Don't follow religion. It's all about do's and don'ts. I used to feel more guilty when I was religious. I left it behind. And I've come to the conclusion that we need to develop our relationship with God on a daily basis. Even when we fail, God is faithful and just, and He will hold our hands and say, come on, don't stay there too long. So where do you want to be in the new year? Well, go and party. Christians are not boring people. I think we've got the label that, you know, if you're a Christian, you don't. There are certain things you should never do. But you know what? God has called us also to have fun and to enjoy one another. This is not a legalism. You know, the Old Testament has gone away. But also, do not ever give up that God is capable of doing the impossible through you. The impossible. But wait upon God and He will show it to you. What I like about scriptures, what I love about the Bible, that it really works. You know, I read the message of the word and I realize more and more how true it is. You just have to look at humanity. You just have to look at yourself and say, boy, God has it right from the very beginning. It is humans who are trying to change God's word. God's word will never change. We will change, but God's word will stay forever. So my prayer is that as we move on from here, as we've just witnessed the baptism of Jillian, Barbara, as we move on into our lives, into our busy lives outside these doors, life will be messy. But remember, God is on your side. And if God is on your side, who can be against you? You have to take the time to develop that relationship. So if you want to have a New Year resolution, let it be this. I want to make God a priority in my life moving forward. And you'll never regret it. You could come back to me and say, you know what you've told me years ago, it really worked. I wish I'd tried it before. You know, not too long ago, a lady came. I had no idea who she was. She came with her sister. She thanked me about a funeral that I did for her mother. I said, wow. I could not remember who she was or who they were. Apparently, I said something during the funeral. She says, my life has changed. I said, I didn't do a thing. I can't even remember what I said. And she quoted me what I've said during the funeral. And I said, did I really say that? It doesn't sound like it. She says, yes, you said it. I said, well, you know what? The words in themselves have no power. What the Holy Spirit did with those words, go and praise Him, has nothing to do with me. So I pray that God equally will do something great in our lives as we move to 2020. Because He's very much alive and continues to reign. We're going to end our service by singing Amazing Grace. And this is also the time where we bring our offerings to God and for the use of His kingdom. Now, if you're a guest, you don't have to give. We welcome your gifts, but you don't have to feel obliged to give. And anything that we collect, we use it for God's glory. So this song, it's known by all of us, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But there's a verse here that is just, it's different, but you'll catch on. You'll just follow.
How precious did that grace appear?
Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of your Holy Spirit be with all of us and our loved ones, now and forevermore. Amen. You may stay behind. We go downstairs for bagels and green cheese or coffee, or just stay around to chat. We'd love to see you again. We are here every Sunday, rain, shine, or snow. We don't close.